Okay, so let's start. And I will read out the question, and then maybe I'll pass it on to you, and you can read out, and then we can go back and forth and see what happens. Okay, so this is very nice. Welcome to Sri Lanka, Ajahn Brahmali. Paticca Samuppada Sutta is a very deep one. Do you have any CDs or in YouTube? Then every minute I can listen to go through this. I visit this program for the first time. It's a great one. Every year I was in Australia. Really? Okay. Actually, I am so lucky to attend this program. Very good. Thank you. May Triple Gem bless you. I'm going to go through the dependent origination in much detail over the next few days. I realized that it was very fast this morning, very difficult to follow perhaps. There was a lot of information. I think for the monastics it's probably easier because they're more used to listening to these sort of things, but I understand that for the lay people it can be perhaps very difficult. But just be patient and see what we do over the next few days, and then see what you feel after that. And anyway, all of these teachings here are also recorded, and I'm sure it's possible if you speak kindly to Venerable Metta Vihari, you might be able to get a copy of these things after the retreat.
ප්‍රශ්නයක් අහලා තිබුණා ස්වාමින් වහන්සේව බොහොම සාදරයෙන් පිළිගන්න අය පටිච්චසමුප්පාද සූත්‍රය බොහොම ගැඹුරුයි පළමු වතාවට තමයි මම මේ වැඩසටහනට ආවේ ඉතින් මේ YouTube එකේ හෝ තියනවාද මේ සූත්‍රය පිළිබඳ දේශනාවක් කියලා ඉතින් ස්වාමින් වහන්සේ උත්තර දෙනවා ඉදිරියේදී මේ වැඩසටහනේදී දිගටම මේ පිළිබඳව තමයි අපි කතා කරන්නේ එතකොට මේ පිළිබඳව තව බොහෝ කරුණු දැනගන්න පුළුවන් වෙයි කියලා.
Okay, next one. Venerable Sir, when explaining the 12 conditions of dependent arising, it is said that vijnana consciousness turn back and does not go beyond. Does this mean that consciousness ceases to be a condition for the arising of namarupa? Please expand on this view, Venerable Sir. Okay, well, this is from the Mahanidana Sutta, and I'm going to be looking at that sutta later on. And it's true, it says that a consciousness does not go beyond. Consciousness is then conditioned by nama rupa itself, and there's a mutual conditionality between consciousness and nama rupa. And basically what it means is just that there are different ways of teaching dependent arising, right? You can use the 12 links, or you can use Mahanidana Sutta has 9 links, sometimes there is 10 links. The number of links varies. They're just alternative ways of looking at exactly the same formula. So when it goes back to Nama Rupa and Vijnana, it doesn't go beyond that. What it turns back, as it says, it just means that however far back in time you go, if you go into past lives, however far back you go, this is my understanding of this, you always find only two things, Namarupa and Vijnana. Namarupa and Vijnana. That's all there ever is. There's nothing beyond that. That includes everything there is.
ප්‍රශ්නයක් අහලා තියෙනවා විඥානය නාම රූපයෙන් එහාට යන්නේ නැහැ කියලා මේ මහා නිදාන සූත්‍රයේ සඳහන් වෙලා තියෙනවා ඒ පිළිබඳවයි ප්‍රශ්නය අහලා තියෙන්නේ ඉතින් ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේ ප්‍රකාශ කරනවා මේ කාරණා විවිධ ආකාර වලින් පැහැදිලි කරන්න පුළුවන් මේ නාම රූප විඥාන සහසම්බන්ධයේ නාම රූපයෙන් එහාට විඥානය යන්නේ නැහැ කියන එකෙන් අදහස් වෙන්නේ මොනතරම් අතීතයට බැලුවත් නාම රූපත් විඥානත් විතරයි ආපස්සට සිහි කරලා බලනකොට බලන්න තියෙන්නේ. ඒ අර්ථයෙන් තමයි මේ නාම රූපය විඥාන ඉක්මවා යන්නේ නැහැ කියන එකෙන් අදහස් වෙන්නේ.
Okay, so if that isn't good enough, if I don't answer the questions to your liking, you're more than welcome to ask again at any time. So sometimes we speak past each other, that's perfectly fine. Okay. Sorry.
දැන් මේ උත්තර දෙනේම පැහැදිලිුනේ නැත්නම් ඉදිරියේදී ආයිසරයක් අහලා ඒව පැහැදිලි කරගන්න පුළුවන්.
Okay, next question. Can mindfulness meditation help to develop virtue? Yes, it certainly can. In many ways, when we talk about mindfulness meditation, usually what we mean is satipatthana, right? The seventh factor of the Noble Eightfold Path. And it can help develop virtue in many different ways. One is just that you are increasing your awareness, right? You're becoming more mindful, more aware of what is going on. And of course, as your mindfulness increases, it increases your ability to stop the defilements before they really arise. You can see, I'm about to get upset about something. I'm about to get angry. Okay, let me look at this in a different way. Let me change my point of view. Then you move away from that anger and negativity. Now, this is the most important defilement to kind of overcome, right? Because it's so painful, it creates so much problems in the world. So anger is really a very, or negativity, or whatever you want to call it, ill will, it's very important to overcome. And I will talk about this later on this retreat, how to use wisdom to overcome these kind of defilements, because I think it's so important. And I'd like to talk about these things on every single retreat. So this is the first reason, right? Mindfulness, you have the awareness that what is going on. Sorry, Venerable, I'm going on a bit now.
ප්‍රශ්නයක් අහලා තියෙනවා සතිපට්ඨානයේ සීලය දිනු කර ගන්න බලපානවාද කියලා. ඔව් උන්වහන්සේ උත්තර දෙනවා ඒ සතිපට්ඨානය තුලින් ඔබේ අවධානය දිනු වෙනවා. අවධානය දිනු වීම තුලින් ඔබේ ක්‍රියාකාරකම් ඔබට පැහැදිලි වෙනවා. විශේෂයෙන් තරහ ආදී පිළිබඳව ඔබටම දැක ගන්න පුළුවන් වෙනවා. තරහ එහෙම පැහැදිලි වුණාම ඒ නිසා කරන වැඩ ඒ තරහෙන් කරන වැඩ පාලනය කරගන්න පුළුවන් වෙනවා. ඉතින් ඒ ආකාරයට සතිපට්ඨානයේ සිහිය දියුණු වීම සීලය දියුණු වීමට ඍජුවම බලපානවා.
So that is one way, and but there is a more to it than that. There is also the very fact that if you look at the whole Satipatthana Sutta, the way it works, it is a lot to do with overcoming defilements of the mind, overcoming attachment to the body and that sort of thing. Yeah. In the first Satipatthana, the Kaya Nupassana, contemplation of the body, one of the main things in there is probably the contemplation of the 31 parts of the body. Yeah. Right? And of course, the contemplation of the 31 parts of the body is the Asubha Bhavana, and its exact purpose is to overcome attachment to the body.
Tavat vidihak tamai. සතිපට්ඨාන සූත්‍රයේ කායානුපස්සනාව ගත්තාම ඒ කායානුපස්සනාව මේ කොටස් 30 තුල කොටස් 32 තියෙනවා. එතකොට ශරීරය පිළිබඳ අවබෝධයක් ඇති කරගන්න ශරීරය පිළිබඳ තියෙන ලෝභය අඩු කරගන්න ඒක උදව් වෙනවා. එතකොට ශරීරයෙන් ලෝභකම නිසා කරන වැරදි වළක්ව ගන්න පුළුවන්කම ලැබෙනවා.
And also, if you look at the other satipatthanas, you look at the Vedana Nupassana, contemplation of feeling, it is very clear when you look at that. It looks at feelings which are defiled feelings, the Samisa Vedana, and you have the undefiled feelings, the Niramisa Vedana, right? So it divides the feelings into categories. The same thing with the Chitta Nupassana. It talks about all the chittas, all the mind states, right? Or mind states is probably a good word, that are defiled with Lobha, Dosa, Moha, which are distracted. The Vikitta Chitta, I think it's called, the contracted one. I might get my terminology a bit confused now. But all of these defiled mind states, and then you have all the released mind states, released of all the defilements, the alobha, ados, amoha, the mahagata chitta, the apamana chitta, the vimutta chitta, they're all part of that. So again, it's a large part of this, again, is about understanding defilements and understanding the mind, which is free of defilements.
E wagema vedana anupassanawa gaththama samisa vedana, niramisa vedana kiyala vedana aakara dekak tiyena. Chitta anupassanawa gaththama ලෝභ දෝෂ මොහ සිත් ඒ වගේම ලෝභ දෝෂ මොහ වලින් මිදුණු සිත් වික්ෂිප්ත සිත් සංකිට සිත් ආදී වශයෙන් නොඑක් ආකාර සිත් දැක ගන්නට ලැබෙනවා චිත්තානුපස්සනාව ගත්තාම.
And of course, when you come to the last Satipatthana, the Dhammanupassana, it is very clear, because there it talks about direct contemplation of the five hindrances, understanding what causes them to arise, understanding what causes them to remain, how they fade away, and how they don't arise again in the future. It's a direct contemplation or understanding of the hindrances of the mind.
ධම්මානුපස්සනාව ගත්තාමත් නීවරණ පිළිබඳව පරිපූර්ණ අවබෝධයක් ඒ තුලින් ලැබෙනවා. කොහොමද නීවරණ ඇති වෙන්නේ, කොහොමද නීවරණ නැති වෙන්නේ ආදී වශයෙන් ධම්මානුපස්සනාව තුළිනුත් හොඳ අවබෝධයක් සිත ගැන ලබා ගන්න පුළුවන්කම ලැබෙනවා.
Okay, so that is how mindfulness can enhance and improve your sila.
මේ විදිහට තමයි සතිපට්ඨානය තුලින් ඔබේ සීලය උසස් බවට පත් කරගන්න පුළුවන්කම ලැබෙන්නේ.
Okay. Don't have to translate. Okay. Just okay. So my respectful homage to Ajahn Brahmali. Bhante, I have a question about dependent origination. I have heard the consciousness in Paticchasamuppada is a patisandhi vijnana. If it is so, vijnana paccaya namarupa means with consciousness as condition there is name and form. Here name and form, does it mean rebirth? And also I feel that the ignorance is also a condition to craving, clinging and existence too. Am I correct? May the Triple Gem bless you, Bhante. Okay, so yes, Patisandhi Vijnana, the word Patisandhi Vijnana does not occur in the suttas, it occurs in the commentaries and I think in the Abhidhamma, I'm not entirely sure. And that is how it is explained there. But yes, I also understand that it has to do with rebirth. I agree with that. But the point is that your consciousness is already established before you are reborn, right? The establishing of consciousness happens in this life, and then you are reborn according to that establishment.
මේ ප්‍රශ්නේ අහන්නේ උන්වහන්සේට මුලින්ම ගෞරව කරනවා. ඊට පස්සේ අහනවා මේ සංකාරපච්චය විඥානං කියන තැන නැත්නම් විඥානපච්චය නාම රූපං කියන තැන මේ විඥානයේ වශයෙන් අදහස් කරන්නේ ප්‍රතිසන්දි විඥානයේ නොවේද කියලා ප්‍රතිසන්දි විඥානයේද කියලා. ඉතින් ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේ කියනවා ඔව් එහෙම කියන්න පුළුවන් නමුත් සූත්‍රවල ඍජුව ප්‍රතිසන්දි විඥානයේ කියන වචනේ සඳහන් වෙන්නේ නැහැ. මේ විඥානය මේ මරණයට කලින්ම සිත සකස් වෙන ආකාරය සකස් වෙලා තියෙන ආකාරය අනුව ප්‍රතිසන්දිය සිද්ධ වෙනවා කියලා උන්වහන්සේ කිව්වා කියලයි මට තේරුනේ.
And then depending on the consciousness, the quality of that consciousness, you get reborn in a, you know, the consciousness kind of goes to a particular station, vijnana titti in the suttas, and that station of consciousness can be, you know, like the arupa realms or the jhana realms or the karma loka or the lower realms. I think there is 7 stations of consciousness which are mentioned in the suttas. And so depending on where that station is of consciousness, the nama rupa will then be will match with that station of consciousness.
මේ විඥාන තితి කියන එක ගැන ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේ කියන්නේ විඥාන තితి වලට අනුව ඒව හතක් තියෙනවා. ඒ විඥාන තితి වලට අනුව නාම රූප සකස් වෙනවා කියලායි උන්වහන්සේ ප්‍රකාශ කළේ. ඒවා රූපාවචර, කාමාවචර, අරූපාවචර ආදී වශයෙන් වෙන්න පුළුවන්.
And the second question you have is that ignorance is also a condition for craving and clinging and existence too. Yes, indeed. So this is the thing, is that these 12 links are really, it's almost as if they are divided into 2 separate ways of looking at the same thing. Yeah? Right? First you have ignorance, condition, sankhara. Sankhara is all the willed activities, but tanha, upadana, and bhava is also willed activities, and they also derive from ignorance. So they are really no different. So these two, you can say that these two aspects of dependent arising, there's 2 ways of looking at the same thing. It's the Buddha using his skillful means to explain things in different ways to kind of expand your view in a sense.
Avidyava, tanhava, sanskara, adiyata, ප්‍රත්‍ය වෙන නැත්නම් බලපානවා නේද කියලා ඇහුවේ. එතකොට උන්වහන්සේ පෙන්වලා දුන්නා කොටස් දෙක, මේ පටිච්චසමුප්පාදයේ කොටස් දෙකකට අනුව බලන්න පුළුවන්කම තියෙනවා. තණ්හාව උපාදානයේ එක කොටසක් වශයෙන්, සංස්කාර ආදී තව කොටසක් වශයෙන් මට හොඳටම පැහැදිලි වුණේ නැහැ. අන්න එහෙම ආකාර දෙකකට මේ පටිච්චසමුප්පාදයේ ක්‍රියාත්මක වෙනවා. ඉතින් අවිද්‍යාවේ සියල්ලට ප්‍රත්‍ය වෙනවා.
So when avidya fades away, the sankharas also fade away, right? Vidya stops, sankhara. When avidya fades away, tanha, upadana, bhava also comes to an end. So they're parallel things.
අවිද්‍යාව නිරුද්ධ වෙලා ගියම තණ්හා, උපාදාන, භව ආදී ඒ දේවලුත් නිරුද්ධ වෙලා යනවා.
Okay, next question. Dear Bhante, can you please explain the different meanings of these words? janate, pajanate, sanjanate, vijanate, abhijanate, parijanate. sometimes I think that there are obviously slightly different meanings of these terms. I think we have to be very careful not to read too much distinctions into words that often are used almost synonymously. I mean, one of the things about the sutta is that lots of words that are used as synonyms, right? They mean roughly the same thing here. And the reason why that is the case is because the suttas were passed down in oral tradition. And in oral tradition, if you have lots of synonyms, it stabilizes the text. It stabilizes your memory because the synonyms will stabilize the content. So for that, we have to be careful to read too many things into these things. But yes, it is possible to say a few things about this at least.
ප්‍රශ්නයක් අහලා තියෙනවා මේ වචනවල තේරුම මොනවද කියලා. ජානාති පජානාති පරිජානාති සංජානාති අභිජානාති වගේ වචන පේලියක් තිබුණා. ඒ එක එක වචනවල තේරුම් මොනවද කියලා අහලා තිබුණා. ඉතින් උන්වහන්සේ කියනවා ඒ ගැන වැඩියම කරදර වෙන්න යන්න එපා. නමුත් මම උත්සාහ කරන්නම් මේ පිළිබඳව පැහැදිලි කිරීමක් කරන්න කියලා.
Yeah, so janati is related of course to the word jnana, which is often translated as knowledge. So is knowledge and vision very closely related to, it can be quite broad, but very closely related to stream entry. Jnana dasana, you enter the stream, right? So in that sense, has a relationship to that.
Jnanati kiyana vachanein, jnane adahas wenawa, danagenima kiyana eka samanya api singhalen ut danno. Meka sowan marga palayata e wage avasthawak gana me wacane kiyanna puluwan kiyala kiyenawa.
And of course, pajanati is related to panya, right? Close related to panya. Panya in Buddhism, of course, in its highest sense, it means, again, the Aryan stages. But panya is often used quite broadly in the suttas to mean kind of sometimes very simple wisdom, just ordinary wisdom of, you know, doing the right thing in life, practicing the right way. But in its highest stages, of course, it refers to the Aryan stages and all that.
පජානාති කියන එකෙන් උපජානාති කියන එකෙන් ප්‍රඥාව අදහස් වෙනවා. ඒක උසස් මට්ටමක්. ඒක ආර්යයන් සතු ආර්යයන්ට අදාළ බුද්ධි මට්ටමක් වශයෙන් හඳුන්වන්න පුළුවන්කම තියෙනවා. ඒකෙන් නොකල යුතු දේවල් කළ යුතු දේවල් පිළිබඳ ඉතා නිවැරදි අවබෝධයක් ඒ පජානාති කියන වචනෙන් අදහස් වෙනවා.
But also, you know, at the end of the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, it says jnana udapadi, panya udapadi, right? So they are used as synonyms.
Then Dhammacakka Sutra meditiyena jnana udapadi, panya udapadi, adi vasin. Etakota e prajñāva kiyanne vada usas mattamak.
So we have to be careful not to read too much into these things, the differences.
Me vinaskam pilibanda onowata wada api hitanna yanna avashya wenne ne.
And sanjanati, of course, is related to sanya, right? Sanya, perception, so you're perceiving things. So it basically means perceiving. So this is a bit different. This is more like just being aware of what is happening, understanding the world around you to perceive things. This doesn't necessarily have anything to do with wisdom as such.
Sanjanati කියන එක බොහෝ දුරට සංඥාවට සම්බන්ධයි. ඒක ප්‍රඥාවට සම්බන්ධයක් නැහැ. ඒ යමක් සිද්ධ වීම හඳුනා ගැනීම කියන එක තමයි සංඥාව කියන එකෙන් සාමාන්‍යයෙන් අපි අදහස් කරන්නේ.
Vijjanate is related to vijnana, so vijnana is consciousness. So this means like awareness, right? Vijjanate, to be aware of. I think in the suttas it says vijjanate, it's actually the definition of vijnana in the suttas. You vijjanate. What is it that you vijjanate again? Dukkha sukha, perhaps? I can't remember now what it is.
Taste
is a taste, is it? It's from the Mahavedala Sutta.
Yes,
taste, so, okay.
Vijjanati kiyana wacanen vinyanaya yadahas wenne. Vinyanen kiyanne danaganna swabhawaya. Danagannawa kiyana eka thamai vinyanen yadahas.
And then, of course, abhijanati, this is like, again, the higher insight, right? It's related to abhinya. So abhinya being the higher insights in the suttas, you talk about the six abhinya, chalabhinya. So this is related to that. And parijanati is often considered like the complete understanding, complete insight. So parijanati is essentially equivalent to arahantship.
Abhijanati kiyana wacanen usas vidarshana adahas wenawa. විශේෂයෙන් දැනගන්නවා විදර්ශනාව කියන එක තමයි අභිඥානාති කියන වචනයෙන් අදහස් වෙන්නේ. පරිඥානාති කියන වචනයෙන් අදහස් වෙන්නේ ඊටාම උසස් අවබෝධය කියන එක, රහතුන් වහන්සේලාට සම්බන්ධ අවබෝධය පරිඥානාති කියන වචනයෙන් අදහස් වෙනවා.
Yeah. But be careful with this, because this is just an approximation that I've been telling you now. And remember that words have meaning according to context usually. There are certain words that are used in a technical meaning, so they always mean the same thing. But most words get meaning from the context. So don't be too caught up. Look at the context. It's very, very important in all these situations. And then you will understand what is going on.
වචනවල යෙදිලා තියෙන තැන අනුව එහි අර්ථය වෙනස් වෙන්න පුළුවන්. ඒ යෙදිලා තියෙන තැනට ප්‍රධාන තැනක් දෙන්නට ඕන. මේ උත්තර දුන්නේ බොහොම දල උත්තර වගයක් මේ දුන්නේ.
Okay. So here we go, next question. Venerable Sir, does tanna have to be in its present allotted point on the scale of dependent origination? Can it not follow on from avijja? Thank you. Yes, sure, it can. It's everywhere, right? Tanha is everywhere. They're all everywhere. All the factors are really found. If you go to Nama Rupa, there's Tanha in Nama Rupa, there's feeling there. It's all really everywhere. Remember, the idea of dependent origination is just to give you a sequence to explain how samsara arises, how dukkha arises. So it explains using a certain... Using this framework, it explains the arising of dukkha in the world. It doesn't mean that this is it doesn't mean that these factors actually always exist in exactly this way. It's actually much more complicated than that. The purpose of this is just to show you a certain particular sequence that gives rise to dukkha. How avijja, in a sense, is transformed into dukkha through all these intermediate steps. That is really the purpose of this.
පටිච්චසමුප්පාදය තුළ අවිද්‍යාවට වගේම තණ්හාට ප්‍රධාන තැනක් දිය යුතුයි නේද කියලා වගේ තමයි අහලා තියෙන්නේ මට තේරිච්ච හැටියට. ඒට ඇත්තම ඒ තරම් වැදගත් තමයි. නමුත් මේ එක්තරා පිළිවෙලකට මේ කාරණාව දේශනා කරද්දී තණ්හාව ඒට අදාළ තැනට වැටිලා තියෙනවා. එහෙම තමයි කියන්නේ.
So what that means, sometimes we say that dependent arising is kind of spread out over three lifetimes, but the reality is that you could take any of these sections and place them anywhere. You can take the middle section, put it at the beginning, the end section, put it in the middle or whatever. You can move these things around because they are just a particular way of showing how actually dependent arising works. This is not absolutely fixed framework. There's a lot of flexibility there. Huh?
මේක මේ තදබල ස්ථාවර රාමුවක්ම නෙමෙයි. ඒක ඒ අවස්ථාව අනුව ආකාරය අනුව වෙනස් වෙනවා.
So I'm not sure if that makes any sense, but that is I'm not sure what else to say about that. So hopefully that makes sense. And move on to the next question here. Okay. Some of these things hopefully may become more clear as we go through dependent origination, and you can always, as I said before, come back to these questions later on.
මේ ප්‍රශ්න මේ ඉදිරියේදී අපි පටිච්චසමුප්පාදය පිළිබඳව තවදුරටත් සාකච්ඡා කරද්දී පැහැදිලි වේවි.
Due to seeing so many monks in one place, and also due to a certain joy regarding the Buddha, my mind automatically, without volition, starts reciting a verse regarding the Buddha and the Sangha. As a result of this, my mind lights up. Wow, that's pretty good, isn't it? However, is this sudden and multiple eruption of piti, joy, bad for the equanimity of the mind? I recognize that these outbursts make me get up from my meditation and make me go and read your text. Okay, I'm asking this as I know the repetitive mantras are not good. It's good. It's good if you feel joy. It's wonderful if you feel joy. It's excellent. You should be very happy about that. It's a good thing. So don't be too worried about that. But as you say, if it makes you go up and read something, then maybe just say, okay, this is not the time for reading. Let me just enjoy the joy right here, right? Just sit here and enjoy the happiness of this and not kind of get carried away by it. Remember that it's not equanimity of the mind as such. It's not... it's great to have equanimity. There are different types of equanimity. There is the right time for equanimity, the wrong time for equanimity. It depends what you're doing. It's not always the right thing to have equanimity. If you're sitting down, you're watching the breath, and piti arises, you shouldn't stop the piti just because you're supposed to have equanimity. You should allow it to arise. Remember, this is part of the experience of meditation, right? If you try to block it out, you are hindering your progress. So please allow these wonderful feelings to arise.
මෙච්චර හාමුදුරුවරු පිරිසක් මේ විදිහට එකතු වෙලා ඉන්නවා දකින්නකොටත් බුදු රජාණන් වහන්සේව දකින්නකොටත් මට විශාල ප්‍රීතියක් ඇති වුණායි කියලා එක්කෙනෙක් කියනවා. ඉතින් ඒ ප්‍රීතිය හොඳ නෑ නේද කියලා අහනවා, උපේක්ෂාව නේද එන්න ඕනේ කියලා අහනවා. ඒක මෙයාට ප්‍රීතිය වැඩිකමට ගිහිල්ලා කියවන්න මේ හාමුදුරුවන්ගේ සූත්‍ර කියවන්න හිතිලා තියෙනවා. ඉතින් ඒක තමයි ප්‍රශ්නේ අහලා තියෙන්නේ. ඉතින් අපේ ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේ උත්තර දෙනවා, ප්‍රීතිය ඇති වෙන එක බොහොම හොඳයි, ප්‍රීතිය පාලනය කරන්න යන අවශ්‍ය නැහැ ඒ අවස්ථාවේදී, උපේක්ෂාව ඒ අවස්ථාවේදී බලෙන් ගන්න යන්න ඕනේ නැහැ, ප්‍රීතියට ඇති වෙන්න ඉඩ දෙන්න ඕනේ, ප්‍රීතිය විඳින්න කියලා උන්වහන්සේ කියනවා. ඒ වගේම අර සූත්‍ර කියවන්න යන්න එහෙම යන්න අදිසි වෙන්න ඕනෙත් නැහැ, ඒ තමන්ට උපදින ප්‍රීතිය අත්දකින්න කියලා උන්වහන්සේ අවවාද කරනවා.
So that is the right time to have piti, the right time to have equanimity. This is like the lower kind of equanimity. That is in daily life. In daily life, when you do your things, or even here at this retreat center, the right time is not to be allow yourself to be distracted by ill will or by attraction to things, but have this kind of even mind during the day, right? Where the mind flows during the day. You see a little bit of ill will arising, and you quickly turn your mind away from that. You see some desire which is not useful for you arising, and you turn your mind away from that. That is the equanimity you want to have, the equanimity during the daily tasks and daily life.
මෙහිදී උපේක්ෂා වශයෙන් පවත්වා ගත යුත්තේ මේ දිනපතා කරන කටයුතු වලදී සිතේ දැඩි ලෝභයක්, දැඩි තරහක් එහෙම ඇති වෙන්න නොදී මධ්‍යස්ථව සිත පවත්වාගෙන යන එක තමයි මෙහිදී මේ අපේ භාවනා වැඩසටහනේදී විශේෂයෙන්ම පවත්වාගතියුතු උපේක්ෂා වශයෙන් උන්වහන්සේ පෙන්වලා දෙන්නේ.
And then of course there is the higher upekkha. The higher upekkha is the upekkha which comes, you know, when the samadhi becomes very profound.
සමාධිය ගොඩාක් ගැඹුරු වෙච්ච වෙලාවට වඩා උසස් මට්ටමේ උපේක්ෂාවල් වලට ළඟා වෙන්න පුළුවන් වේවි.
So if you want to recite that verse, right? So keep on reciting it, just sit there and watch yourself reciting this verse, right? And after a while it probably just dissipates by itself. After a while you feel, okay, enough, I don't want to recite this verse anymore. So just sit there, right? Watch yourself going around. Don't get up from your seat. And just be aware of what is happening. And after a while, it will fade away. And then your mindfulness, hopefully, will be there. And if you have some joy left in your heart at that point, it will help you in your meditation practice.
Then me prasnaya hapit kinada piti eti vichu velave බුදුරජාණන් වහන්සේ ගැන සංඝයා පිළිබඳවත් ගාථා සජ්ජායනා කරන්න අවශ්‍ය වෙලා තියෙනවා. ඉතින් ඒ ගාථා සජ්ජායනා කරන්න හිතුණා නම් එහෙම කළාට කමක් නැහැ. ඒක මොකද්ද වෙන්නේ කියලා බලන්න ටික වෙලාවකින් ඒ ස්වභාවය වෙනස් වෙලා යාවි.
Okay, so I hope that helps. Next question. Dear Venerable Sir, what is the difference between the 12-fold dependent origination and the dependent origination which was mentioned in Madhupindika Sutta? In the academic studies, I was taught that they are different, as the Dvadasanga Paticchasamuppada for dependent origination of life cycle and Madhupindika Sutta for dependent origination for mental mechanism. Yes, to me, the Madhupindika Sutta is not dependent origination. It doesn't say in there that this is dependent origination. The Madhupindika Sutta, to me, is just the process of perception, how the process of perception works, right? It starts off with the mind, the object, the sense, and awareness coming together. The coming together of the three is the contact, give rise to feeling, give rise to perception, give rise to thought, give rise to proliferation, right? That is roughly how that Madhupindika Sutta works. And if you look at that, it's only focused on what is happening right now in the present moment. It is not something which has to do with many lifetimes. It is not something that has to do with how this translates into rebirth in samsara. It has to do with how we experience the perceptual development in the present moment.
මේ ප්‍රශ්නෙන් අහනවා ද්වාදසාංග පටිච්චසමුප්පාදයයි මදුපිණ්ඩික සූත්‍රයේ සඳහන් වෙන පටිච්චසමුප්පාදය අතර වෙනස මොකක්ද කියලා. ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේ උත්තර දෙනවා මදුපිණ්ඩික සූත්‍රයේ පටිච්චසමුප්පාදය පිළිබඳ සඳහනක් නැහැ. මදුපිණ්ඩික සූත්‍රයේ සංඥාව පිළිබඳ සංඥාවේ ක්‍රියාකාරීත්වය පිළිබඳව විශේෂයෙන් සඳහන් වෙන්නේ. මදුපිණ්ඩික සූත්‍රයේ අර පෙර භවය මතු භවය ආදියට සම්බන්ධ කරලා එහෙම ආකාරයෙන් පටිච්චසමුප්පාදය පැහැදිලි කිරීමක් කරන්නේ නැහැ. ඒ වෙනුවට මේ වර්තමාන අවස්ථාවේ සිද්ධ වෙන සිද්ධිය තමයි මදුපිණ්ඩික සූත්‍රයෙන් පැහැදිලි කරලා දෙන්නේ.
So the Madhupindika Sutta is like a, you can say it's part of dependent arising. It's a small aspect of it. It is like, if you like, the six sense bases up to tanha, maybe up to upadana. You can see how the mind, you know, is another way of explaining that little aspect of it. But you cannot say that the part of dependent arising which starts with the salayatana and goes up to upadana, you cannot say that that actually is dependent arising in its own right. It is only a sub-aspect of dependent arising here.
Madhupindika Sutra, Patisamupadaya Pilibandha, Kisiyam Kotasak Sakachavino, Namuttara Dwadasanga Patisamupadaya Sampurna Vasen Sakachavini Ne, කොටසක් විතරක් කතා වෙනවා මදුපිණ්ඩික සූත්‍රයේත්.
But it's nice, right, when you sit there sometimes and you're meditating and suddenly your mind is carried away by this flow of thoughts and you wonder how you got there and you look back and you can see that it is often driven by these things which give rise to the papancha, the cravings, the sense of self. These are the causes for papancha, right? Ultimately comes back to the sense of self, the mana, the ditties, which actually drive this whole process. And sometimes if you look very carefully, you can see how that process works.
Bhavana karaddi me sita prapancha anuva kriyaatmaka vena aakarya dekaganna puluwan kama labenawa visheshayen maanaya visheshayen taman kiyana hangima adiya padanam vela igawata situvili paramparawa yana hati dekaganna puluwan kama labenawa bhavana karana avasthawaladi. ඉතින් ඒ කාරණාව මේ මදුපිණ්ඩික සූත්‍රය ඇසුරෙන් තේරුම් ගන්න පුළුවන්කම තියෙනවා.
Okay, so next question. Devante, thank you for your exposition of the Volition Sutta this morning, which was very clear and stimulating. Question 1. You mentioned that sila is much broader than just our actions and speech. Can you say more about this? Well, sila is about our character, right? Our mental conduct as well as speech and actions. And this is what makes the idea, the English word virtue, really quite inadequate, because virtue is about outward conduct. It often means avoiding doing the bad things, but in the Pali, in sila, is much broader than that. That's how I understand it anyway. Here,
උදේ කතා කරපු චේතනා සූත්‍රය පිළිබඳවයි මේ ප්‍රශ්නේ අහන්නේ. සීලය කියන එක කායික වාචික තත්වයට එහා ගිය එකක් කියලා උන්වහන්සේ සඳහන් කළා. ඒ පිළිබඳව තමයි ප්‍රශ්නේ ඇවි, කොහොමද සීලය මේ කායික වාචික මට්ටමට එහා ගිය එකක් කියලා කියන්නේ කියලා.
And also remember that sila doesn't just mean avoiding doing the bad, it means doing the good, right? And this is, I think, also very important for monastics. Sometimes we focus, especially people who are serious about monastic life, tend to focus a lot on the patimokkha sila, which of course, that's very important, but it's not enough. And I think this is the important thing to remember. Patimokkha sila, great, but we actually need, even as monastics, to do the right thing, speak kindly to each other, right? To have compassion for each other, to do all of those things as well. And when we do that, then we are really developing our character in a very good way.
Then me seelaya pilibanda katha karanakota bhikkhun wahanselata adala pratimoksha seelaya salaka balun labanawa. Itin e pratimoksha seelayatat wada api karana kiyana dewal pilibandawa wada honda vidihata api karana ona karunawen katha karana ona wada niweradiwa api kriyaatmaka wenawa nan e eka thamai ithamathma wedagath.
Yeah. Okay, question number 2. I think my sila is quite good. Okay, good. But I can't say I am aware of the arising of the happiness and non-regret. Why would this be the case? Well, again, you need to develop it more broadly. You know, your general mind state, what is it like? Do you generally have a sense of kindness and goodness to people? And then maybe you can improve that even further, right? Have even more sense of compassion, more sense of metta to the people around you. So remember, there's so many degrees here, right? You can be a very good person, but still not be, you know, have developed the sila to the maximum. The maximum sila is, of course, when your metta bhavana is very profound and you have a sense of metta for the whole world. That is when sila kind of goes to its maximum, if you like.
Then me prashne ahana ekkena kiyana yage sila honda tattwayeka tiyena kiyala swaminnasi kiyana sila tawa vivida mattam tiyenna puluwan ඉතාමත් උසස් මට්ටමට සීලය වැඩුණා නම් සියලු ලෝක සත්වයන් කෙරෙහි කරුණාවෙන් බලන්න පුළුවන් මෛත්‍රී සහගත සිතක් ඇති වුණා නම් ඒක තමයි සීලයේ ඉතාමත්ම උපරිම මට්ටම කියලා.
Okay, when I do silanusati, I do get happiness and gladness from contemplating it, that I have not harmed others or myself through actions or speech, and I have given others a gift of peace and security. So that's exactly right. That's good. That's, you know, that's very much, I think that's very much part of the happiness of non-regret that you're getting there. That happiness, you probably wouldn't get it if you had more regret. So this is exactly the right thing. You allow the mind to go back and just, you know, kind of rest on those things that you have lived your life in a good way, and that then gives rise to joy. So that is very good, and that is exactly what silanusati is all about.
ඒ පින්වතාට සීලානුසති භාවනා කරනකොට ප්‍රීතිය සතුට ඇති වෙනවා කියලා තියෙනවා. ඉතින් ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේ කිව්වා ඒක තමයි ඊටම හොඳ විදිය, ඒක බොහොම හරි නිවැරදි කියලා.
Okay, next one. Namo Buddhaya. Welcome back to Sri Lanka, Bhante. Bhante, should the links of dependent origination be seen directly, i.e. Yata Buddha and Anadasana, or should they be inferred? Understanding directly is easier for the links between Vedana and Tana, but the link between Sankara and Vijnana can only be inferred. Yes, that is correct, that there is always a degree of inference there, and especially the idea of rebirth. What you are seeing directly is not actually, you're not actually seeing the rebirth process happening. What you are seeing is a conditional relationship. You understand that as long as there is craving there, as long as there is avijja there, the process of consciousness, the process of life doesn't stop. It continues even after you die. It's a realization of a causal relationship between consciousness and the tanha or the avijja that drives it, if you like.
පටිච්චසමුප්පාදයේ මේ අංග 12 යථාභූත ඥාන දර්ශනයෙන් දැකගත යුතුද කියලා අහනවා. ඒ වගේම මට තේරිච්ච හැටියට ඔව් ඒ කාරණා තමයි අහලා තිබුණේ. මේ යථාභූත ඥාන දර්ශනයෙන් දැකගත යුතුද අහනවා. එහෙම නැත්නම් ඒක අපි හිතාගත යුතුද කියලා අහනවා. ඉතින් ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේ උත්තර දුන්නේ ඒක තේරුම් ගත යුතුයි කියලා වගේ මට තේරුණේ.
Okay, so there's always a degree of inference. Remember, the Buddha talks in the suttas about anvaya jnana, which is inferential knowledge. So there is not just a direct knowledge, yata buddha nanadasana, or rather yata buddha nanadasana is twofold. It is the straight, the immediate seeing of things, and there's also the anvaya jnana, which is the inferential knowledge. So this is actually also straight from the suttas.
අපට දේවල් යථා භූත ඥාන දර්ශනෙන් තේරුම් ගන්න පුළුවන්. ඒ වගේම අනුමාන ඥානෙන් තේරුම් එහෙම නැත්නම් අන්වේ ඥානෙන් තේරුම් ගන්න පුළුවන්. ඒ කියන්නේ යම් කිසි කොටසක් අවබෝධ කර ගැනීම නිසා ඒක අනුව මේක සිද්ධ වෙනවා කියලා තේරුම් ගන්න පුළුවන්. ආන්න ඒ වගේ මේ පටිසම්පාදයේ අංගත් අපිට අන්වේ ඥානෙන් තේරුම් ගන්න පුළුවන්කම තියෙනවා.
Okay, that's my understanding of that. So okay. Dear Venerable Sir, what do you mean by sila? Is it just to abstain from bad things and develop positive emotional qualities like love, kindness, and compassion, etc.? Yes, that's pretty good definition, right? Abstain from the bad stuff, do the good stuff, right? Be kind to others, say kind things to other people, do kind acts to them, right? It's one of those wonderful things when you read. Actually, this sutta is coming up later on during this retreat, but I might as well talk about it now as well. The Kosambya Sutta in the Majjhima Nikaya number 48, it talks about the 6 ways of having like a harmonious and good relationship, especially within the Sangha.
සීලය කියන්නේ මොකද්ද කියලා අහනවා. ඒකෙන් අදහස් වෙන්නේ මේ වැරදි දේවල් වලින් වැළකීලා හොඳ දේවල් කරන එකද කියලා අහනවා. හොඳ මානසික තත්ත්වයක් තියාගන්න එකද කියලා අහනවා. ඉතින් ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේ කියනවා ඔව් ඒක තමයි, ඒක හැබෑව කියලා. මජ්ක්‍ධිම නිකායේ වර්තමන්ති සූත්‍ර
කොසම්බිය සූත්‍ර.
කොසම්බිය සූත්‍රයේදී මේ සමගිව ජීවත් වෙන එක භික්ෂුන් වහන්සේලා සමගිව ජීවත් වෙන ආකාරය පිළිබඳ ආකාර 6ක් බුදුරජාණන් වහන්සේ පෙන්වලා දීලා තියෙනවා.
And you know, and it says there very nicely that, you know, you act towards your fellow monastics with kindness. Not just abstain from the bad stuff, that's already implied by the Patimokkha Sila, but you actually do acts of kindness towards them, right? You help out when you have a chance, you give a hand, you say something nice. As it says so beautifully in the suttas, it talks about right speech, samma vacha. It says speech that goes to the heart of people, right? So people feel good when they hear us talking here. It's one of those things about human life. We are so close together here, and we have so much impact on each other here, and we can either impact each other in a bad way or good way here. And so if you feel how other people impact you here, and you can see how powerful the impact is on you here, remember that you impact others in exactly the same way here. If somebody says something harsh to you and it hurts, you know you have the same ability to hurt others in return. And when you remember that, you turn your mind towards kindness.
මේ සීලය පිළිබඳව කතා කරද්දී එකිනෙකා පිළිබඳව කරුණාවෙන් එකිනෙකාට උදව් කරමින් අනිත් අයගේ සිත සතුටු වෙන විදිහේ වචන කතා කරමින් ඒ විදිහට ජීවත් වෙන එක සීලයයි. ඒ වගේම අපි කාට හරි හිංසා කළොත් රිදෙව්වොත් අපිටත් හිංසා රිදවීම කරදර එන්න පුළුවන්. ඉතින් ඒ වගේ දේවල් වලින් වැළකීලා මිත්‍ර සීලී සිතින් එකිනෙකාට උදව් කරමින් එහෙම ජීවත් වෙන එක තමයි සීලය කියලා කියන්නේ.
It is very nice to develop metta and karuna in your meditation practice. It's very useful. But remember, it all starts with our actions. It all starts with our speech, and that is the foundation for developing it also in meditation practice.
ඔබේ භාවනාවේදී කරුණා භාවනාව සහ මෛත්‍රී භාවනාව කරන එකත් ඉතාමත්ම වැදගත්.
Okay, Devanta, can you kindly explain us the meaning of ajattangva kaya kayanupassi bahiddhava kayanupassi viharati ajatta bahiddhava kayanupassi viharati? Then samuddaya dhamma. Okay, how to apply these verses in our practice? Okay, so this is the verse, the standard refrain from the Satipatthana Sutta, right? Ajattang. Now, first of all, my take on Satipatthana Sutta is quite radical. I have read so many studies of the Satipatthana Sutta, comparative studies, looking at the various versions, etc., that I have come to believe that the most important part of the Satipatthana Sutta, of the Kayanupassana, is the 31 parts of the body. The other ones are less significant. That is the core part. So because of that, I will explain this verse in terms of the 31 parts of the body. So ajatta is very easy, right? It refers to your body here. It doesn't refer to anything else. That's why it's strange that the breath meditation should be in there, because how can you have watch other people's breath? It sounds very weird. But of course, with the body, it's very obvious. First of all, you focus on your own body, right? Then on other people's bodies, and then after that you universalize, and you know bodies in general have this nature. That is ajatta bahidda. That's how I understand this. So you always, what is interesting about this is that you always focus on your own body first of all. This is always the starting point. It says also, it says in the 31 part, it says ayang eva kayo, right? Or imang eva, ayang eva kayo. Basically means that this very body is that what you're focusing on. And because you're focusing on this very body, starting with yourself, this is, I think, one of the very important instructions in that sutta. And then when you have that kind of, you know, settled down, you're focusing on your own body, then you can take into account other bodies, once that is well established. And the reason for that is simply that any desire that we have for physical things, for bodies or whatever it might be, it always starts with how we look at ourselves. If you are attracted to your own body, if you like yourself, then that is always the beginning point of the problem. And from there, it is that you are attracted to other people, right? That's why starting one yourself is so important.
මේ ප්‍රශ්නේ අහලා තියෙන්නේ කායානුපස්සනාවේ ඉති අජ්ජත්තංවා කාය කායානුපස්සී බහිද්ධාවා කාය කායානුපස්සී කියන මේ කොටස පිළිබඳව. මෙහි අජ්ජත් බහිද්ද කියන්නේ මොකද්ද කියලායි අහලා තියෙන්නේ. සායන්වංශ කියනවා ඒක හරිම සරලව තේරුම් ගන්න, අජ්ජත් කියන්නේ තමන්, බහිද්ද කියන්නේ අනිත් ශරීරවල්, අනිත් බාහිර ශරීරවල් බහිද්ද කියලා කියන්නේ. සායන්වංශ මේ කාරණාව තේරුම් ගන්නේ මේ කොටස් 31 පදනම් කරගෙන. තමන්ගේ ශරීරයේ තියෙන කොටස් 31 වගේම තමයි අනිත් බාහිර කොටස් 31. මේෙහිදී වැදගත් වෙන්නේ මේ තමන්ගේ ශරීරය පිළිබඳ තියෙන ලෝභකම තේරුම් ගන්න එකයි. තමන්ගේ ශරීරය ගැන ලෝභකමින් තමයි ඔක්කොම ප්‍රශ්නේ පටන් ගන්නෙ. තමන්ගේ ශරීරය ගැන ලෝභය හටගන්න විදිය තේරුම් ගත්තාම අනුන්ගේ ශරීරය ගැනත් ලෝභය හටගන්න විදිය තේරුම් ගන්න පුළුවන්කම තියෙනවා. ඉතින් ඒ විදිහට තමයි මේ අජ්ජත් බහිද්ද කියන එක තේරුම් ගන්නට ඕනේ.
Yeah, so, and then of course, as I said, Ajata Bahidda is kind of when you universalize. All bodies have this nature. First your own, then you look externally, and eventually you realize this is true for everyone here.
මේ අජ්ජත් බහිද්ද කියන එක විශ්වීය වශයෙන් තේරුම් ගන්න පුළුවන්. තමන්ගේ ශරීරය පිළිබඳව තේරුම් ගත්තාම අනිත් ඔක්කොම බාහිර ශරීරත් මේ විදිහමයි කියලා තේරුම් ගන්න පුළුවන් වෙනවා.
And as for the other ones, the Vedana Nipassana, I think in the Vedana Nipassana it is more, I know that sometimes it is said that you kind of contemplate the feelings of others using psychic powers, that kind of thing, but personally I find it hard to believe that. I think it has more to do with contemplating your own feelings and then knowing that other people have the same feelings. You can tell that just by the behavior from external things, right? And then eventually universalize in the same way with Vedana Nupassana, Chitta Nupassana, also Dhamma Nupassana.
වේදනානුපස්සනාව ගැන බැලුවත් තමන්ගේ වේදනා තේරුම් අරගෙන ඒ අනුව තමයි අනිත්‍යවත් කියලා සමස්තය වශයෙන් පොදුවේ බලන එක තමයි උන්වහන්සේ කියන්නේ මෙතන අජ්ජත් බහිද්ද කියලා අදහස් කරන්නේ කියලා චිත්තානුපස්සනා ධම්මානුපස්සනා ආදී ගැන බැලුවත් ඒ විදිය තමයි තමන්ව තේරුම් අරන් ඒ අනුව බාහිර තේරුම් ගන්න එකයි මෙතෙන්දී අදහස් වෙන්නේ. එහෙම නැත්නම් සමහර වෙලාවට අභිඥා වගේ දේවල් පදනම් වෙලා දැනගන්නත් පුළුවන්. නමුත් උන්වහන්සේ ඒ ගැන කියන්නේ නැහැ. මේ තමන්ව තේරුම් අරගෙන ඒ අනුව අනිත් අයත් ඒ විදියයි කියලා තේරුම් ගන්න එකයි මෙතන අජ්ජත් බහිද්ද වශයෙන් අදහස්
කරන්නේ. Okay, then we have the second verse, the Sammuddaya Dhammanupassaya. And that is about the origination qualities, right? That verse, again, if you, I think it is quite possible that that is a later addition and that the Ajatang is actually, that the first verse you're talking about here is the most important one and the most fundamental one for Satipatthana practice. And this other one here, I'm not so sure about it. The place where really the Sammuddaya Dhamma, where that comes into its own and becomes important, is for the Dhammanupassaya. Because in the Dhammanupassaya, that is where you have, you know, understanding the five hindrances, understanding the causal laws that underlie the five hindrances. Why do they arise? What are the causes that cause them to arise? How do you stop them from arising in the future, right? It's all about causality, but it's already built into that formula. You don't really need the Sammuddaya Dhamma refrain, because it's already built into the formula for how the five hindrances are supposed to be contemplated here.
සමුදය ධම්මානුපස්සීව වය ධම්මානුපස්සීව කියන කාරණා පිළිබඳව මේ කතා කළේ. ඒ කියන්නේ හටගන්නා ස්වභාවය වෙනසිලා යන ස්වභාවය කියන එක තමයි එයින් අදහස් වෙන්නේ. ඒ වගේම උන්වහන්සේ තෙන්ට ධම්මානුපස්සනාවේ කොටසක් සම්බන්ධ කළා. මට තේරිච්ච හැටියට නීවරණ ධර්මවල හට ගැනීම සහ නීවරණ ධර්මවල නැති වී යෑම සමුදය වය වශයෙන් උන්වහන්සේ ප්‍රකාශ කළා කියලයි මට තේරුණේ.
Okay, so that is just a quick explanation because time, as always, is very short. So we move on to the next one. Sorry, you want to do some questions, sir?
No, after.
Yes, many more, yeah.
So many more.
Still a few more. So we'll just see how many we can do, and then we will put them aside for another day if we can't do them all. Venerable sir, what is the difference between craving and clinging? May I have an example, please? Okay, so clinging, I don't really like the translation clinging. I'm not sure how good it is into English. The idea is that when we crave for things, we take things up, we attach to things. So an example, for example, is if we crave for sensual pleasures, it means that we attach to those objects that give us sensual pleasures. Right? You have a nice house. That nice house is a place of safety, a place where you enjoy yourself, etc. So you have a sense of attachment to your house. If you come back after this retreat and your house is burned down, oh no, my house has burned down. Oh, suffering, all my belongings, oh no, right? And you're going to be very upset because of that. And so this is the idea that once you crave, you start to attach to things. There are things in life that you hold on to, you grasp onto, and that is what is here, upadana, how I understand this.
මේ ප්‍රශ්නය අහලා තියුනේ ක්‍රේවි තණ්හාව සහ උපාදානය අතර වෙනස කොහොමද කියලා. මට ඇත්තට මේක එච්චර පැහැදිලි වුණේ නෑ. කොහොම හරි උන්වහන්සේ පැහැදිලි කළා. දැන් අර ගයක් තියනවා නම් ඒ ගේ ගැන තියෙන ආශාව තණ්හාව කියලා, එහෙම නැත්නම් ඊට පස්සේ ඒක ගැන තියෙන දැඩි ඇල්ම, ඒක විනාශ වෙලා ගියාම කනගාටුවක් ඇති වෙන ස්වභාවය, ඒක අල්ලගෙන ඉන්නේ ගතිය තමයි උපාදානය කියලා.
But I will talk about this in more detail later on as well here.
ඉදිරියේදී මේ ගැන දිගු වශයෙන් විස්තර කරලා දෙනවා.
Dear Tero, thank you and sadhu for visiting Sri Lanka. According to Patisamapada, as I understand, the sankharas store our kamma in vijnana. As a layperson, supposing I forget the good kamma I have done in this life, aren't I at a disadvantage, to say the least? Can I have your thoughts on this place? Sadhu, sadhu. You cannot forget it, right? This is the thing. Once you do a good act, it is always there. It is in your heart. You cannot really forget it anymore. It has already lifted your consciousness up. It has already done something to you. But the point here, and this is, I think, an important point that you are pointing to, is that when we do acts of kindness and generosity, whatever it is important to do them with as much mindfulness and clarity as possible. If you do an act of kindness with lots of mindfulness, it means it tends to stick inside of you. You don't forget it so easily, right? Because you have clarity about what you're doing. And then when you do it, it gives you joy and happiness. And when it gives you joy and happiness, then it's very easy to recall later on.
මේ ගිහි ජීවිතයේ ඉන්න කෙනෙක් වශයෙන් කරපු හොඳ දේවල් අමතක වෙලා යනවලු. ඉතින් ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේ කියනවා එහෙම ඔබ අමතක නොකළ යුතුයි කියලා. ඒ හොඳ දේවල් සිතේ තියාගත යුතුයි කියන අදහස් තමයි කිව්වේ.
So but basically your consciousness is already being lifted up. Whenever you do a good act, it's already kind of stored in there by default. So it already has had an effect on you, right? Even if you can't remember, the effect will be there. Even more powerful if you can remember it.
ඔබට ඒ හොඳ කර්ම මතක නැති වුණත් ඒවයි බලපෑම නැති වෙන්නේ නැහැ. ඒවෙන් ඔබේ මානසික තත්ත්වය උසස් බවට පත් කරනවා.
Devante, what perceptions did the Buddha encourage to develop, and how can we develop them, especially for lay followers? What perception did he encourage to develop? Okay, I will talk more about that later on the retreat. I have one of the suttas I want to have a look at as the Girimananda Sutta, which is a famous Paritta chant. And I will also look at other ways of dealing with the mind, how to deal with the mind to give rise to perceptions that are conducive to the practice. But there is a whole load of perceptions that you can develop, but some of the most important ones are very simple things that encourage you to move away from anger, right? To look at people in such a way that anger and ill will doesn't arise all that much anymore. And actually, it's not that difficult to do. We can all do this if we really are committed to the path. The most difficult thing is the commitment itself. Once the commitment is there, it tends to happen.
ඒ ප්‍රශ්නෙ අහනවා බුදුරජාණන් වහන්සේ මොන සංඥාවල්ද දිනු කරන්න කියලා තියෙන දේශනා කළා තියෙන්නේ කියලා. ඉතින් උන්වහන්සේ ගිරිමානන්ද සූත්‍රය සඳහන් කළා. ඉතින් අපි දන්නවා ගිරිමානන්ද සූත්‍රයේ දස සංඥා තියෙනවා කියලා. ඒ සූත්‍රය පිළිබඳ උන්වහන්සේ යථා කාලයේ දේශනාවකදී පැහැදිලි කළා දෙනවා. උන්වහන්සේ මේ අවස්ථාවේදී ප්‍රකාශ කළා විශේෂයෙන්ම තරහෙන් මිදෙන සංඥා, තරහට ප්‍රතිවිරුද්ධ සංඥා අපි දිනු කරන්නට ඕන. ඒක වැදගත් කියලා.
And another one, Devante, what perception did the Buddha encourage? Chanting an admire program, very good. Okay, so again, it's the same. I will get back to that later on. So if you please hold your, be patient, and things will be revealed as we go through this program. There's too many questions to answer all of these things in detail, unfortunately. Dear Venerable Sir, we will arise a lot of volitional formations in time to time, because of our ignorance. Sometime we ourselves will not be aware about it. Due consciousness, name and form, six sense with the contact will arise in every moment while volitional formations arise. Yes, I mean, these things are always there in a sense. But remember, the point here All of these things are there. You know, when you have an experience, there is name and form, there is consciousness, there is contact. Every experience, these are part of every experience we have. You cannot have an experience without these things. But the point of dependent arising is to show you a specific way in which these things condition each other so as to give rise to dukkha in the future. So it's important to understand the difference between things arising as part of the experience of perception, the perceptual sequence of things. That's one thing, and that is fine. Another thing is to understand dependent origination and how it drives dukkha and rebirth in the future.
මේ ප්‍රශ්නේදී කියනවා අපිට හැමතිස්සෙම මේ චේතනාත්මක සංකාර උපදිනවා කියලා. ඉතින් ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේ කියනවා ඔව් ඒක එහෙම තමයි. මේ පටිච්චසමුප්පාදය තුලින් පෙන්වලා දෙන්නේ මේ සිද්ධිය කොහොමද සිද්ධ වෙන්නේ කියන එකයි. කොහොමද මේ සංස්කාර ඉපදීම සහ ඒ තුලින් දුක වෙත ගමන් කරන්න කියන කාරණාව තමයි මේ පටිච්චසමුප්පාදය තුලින් පැහැදිලි කරලා දීලා තියෙන්නේ. හැමතිස්සෙම අපිට චේතනා පහළ වෙන එක ඒක ස්වභාවය.
Don't worry too much about these things because it is very easy to be sidetracked by theoretical matters that may not really have too much application in our lives, right? Remember the purpose of this path is actually very simple. The purpose of the Buddhist path is to purify yourself, purify your heart. And from that purification comes all the happiness that you ever wanted in your life.
මේ දේවල් පිළිබඳව ඕනවට වඩා වද වෙන්න යන්න එපා. සිතේ පිරිසිදු කර ගැනීම පිළිබඳව කල්පනා කරන සිත පිරිසිදු වෙනවා නම් අනික් සියලු දේවල් හරියනවා.
Okay. Dear Venerable Sir, 12-fold dependent origination, is it the process happening in a subtle moment or a long period? In a short moment or a long period? In a sense, remember that what is happening in the present moment, right? What is happening right now? You are creating sankharas, right? So every moment you're creating sankharas, and that if that thing you're doing now will feed into dependent origination. So every moment we're doing something with this sequence. We're affecting how it develops in the future. But the sequence as it is explained in the suttas, as I understand it, it is something that happens over a long period of time. It is an explanation of how what we do in the moment affects our future in samsara.
මේ පටිච්චසමුප්පාදයේ එක සුළු කාලයක සිද්ධ වෙන දෙයක් පිළිබඳවද කියන්නේ එහෙම නැත්නම් දීර්ඝ කාලීනව සිද්ධ වෙන සංසිද්ධියක්ද කියලා අහනවා. උන්වහන්සේ ප්‍රකාශ කරනවා මේ හැම මොහොතකම සංකාර රැස් වෙන හැට හැම මොහොතකම පටිච්චසමුප්පාදයට අපේ දායකත්වයක් තියෙනවා. නමුත් සූත්‍රවල ඒක දීර්ඝ කාලීනව සිද්ධ වෙන ක්‍රියාවලියක් විදිහටයි පෙන්눔 කරලා දීලා තියෙන්නේ කියලා.
Okay. I have strong volition. Is it possible to remove it completely? Yes, it is possible. And you just have to kind of keep at it, right? Keep working on it. Even if you feel that you have a lot of will going in your mind all the time, always pushing you around, always doing things, it is possible to learn to let go of that. Anyone can let go of that. You just have to be patient with yourself, right? Practice the basics of the path. And the more strong those basics are, the more easy all the other steps are as a consequence of that. So don't just try to overcome the volition, just see it as a problem, understand that it is a dukkha. It's very easy to see when you become peaceful, the volition calms down, the will calms down. It's actually quite nice, right? You know what I mean? It feels good. Whoa, no more volition, none of this tyrant inside, always bossing you around, doing this, doing that. You feel at ease, you feel relaxed. Right? So, and of course, and once you start to see that, it's easier to let go of the will in the future. So this is one of the ways, like using a little bit of insight, a little bit of understanding to move you away. And apart from that, just keep practicing the path, and as you do so, the volition will abate and disappear by itself.
මා තුළ තද චේතනාවක් තියෙනවා කියලා සඳහන් කරලා තියෙනවා. ඒකෙන් ගැලවෙන්න පුළුවන්ද කියලා අහනවා. ඉතින් ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේ කියනවා ඔව් පුළුවන්. ඒක ගැන අවබෝධයටපත් වෙන්නට ඕන. ඒකේ ස්වභාවය තේරුම් ගන්නට ඕන. ඒ වගේම ඉවසීමෙන් ඒකට මූණ දෙන්නට ඕන. ඒක සංස්කාරයක් කියලා එහෙම නැත්නම් ඒක දුකටයි දෙයක් කියලා තේරුම් ගන්නට ඕන. ඒ ආකාරයෙන් කටයුතු කිරීමෙන් ඒ තදබල චේතනාවෙන් මිදෙන්න පුළුවන්කම තියෙනවා.
Okay, so maybe this will be the last question for tonight, and we can put the questions aside and we can continue with them maybe tomorrow. May not be as many questions every day, so we'll see what happens. Maybe there will be more the following days. That's usually what happens. Anyway, we will get through them somehow, one way or another. Venerable Sir, thank you for coming all the way to be present at our retreat. In an earlier sermon televised on the 26th of June, you mentioned out of the factors conducive to longevity of the sasana, seven factors conducive to longevity of the sasana. Could you complete the list for us or give us a reference to the relevant sutta? Thank you, Vimetta. The sutta which talks about the longevity of the sasana is found in the Mahaparinibbana Sutta. If you go to the beginning, the very first chapter of the Mahaparinibbana Sutta, the Buddha talks to Ananda and says these are the factors that lead to non-decline and to the longevity of the sasana. And I don't think I can remember them all now, but it's things like the monks meeting regularly, meeting in harmony, arising in harmony after the meetings. It is as long as they kind of welcome the arahants from around the world and look after them when they come. It's as long as the monastics enjoy forest dwellings, right? That's one of them. What else is it in there? Anyway, you look for them in the Mahaparinibbana Sutta and you will find them in there at the beginning of that sutta and you can check it out and they should all be there. But they're very nice qualities to contemplate because these are the things that will carry us forward into the future and keep on enjoying these wonderful teachings for a long time. Okay, so let's. I think we better stop there for tonight. Can I give this to you, Venerable?
Then මේ අවසාන ප්‍රශ්නෙ ඇහුවේ ශාසනයේ දිගු කාලීන පැවැත්ම පිළිබඳව බුදුරජාණන් වහන්සේ දේශනා කළා තියෙන කරුණු හතක් තියෙනවා. ඒ මොනවද කියලා. ඉතින් ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේ කිව්වා මේ කරුණු හතම නම් මතක් කරන්න අමාරුයි. මේ කරුණු බලා ගන්න පුළුවන් මහා පරිනිබ්බාන සූත්‍රයෙන් සමහර කරුණු කීපයක් විතරක් සඳහන් කළා. සංඝයා සමගිව රැස් වෙනවා නම්, සමගිව කටයුතු කරනවා නම්, සමගිව නැගී සිටිනවා නම් ආදී වශයෙන් ශාසනයේ දියුණුව පිණිස හේතු වෙනවා කියලා. මේ තවත් ප්‍රශ්න රාශියක් තියෙනවා සිංහලෙන් ඉදිරිපත් කළා කියන ප්‍රශ්නක් තියෙනවා. ඒවා අපි ඉදිරියේදී ඉඳ ලැබෙන පමණින් සාකච්ඡා කරමු. අද දවසට ප්‍රශ්න විසඳීම මෙතකින් සමාප්ත කරනවා.
Okay, so that is all for tonight, and I'll see you again at 8 o'clock tomorrow. In the meantime, just keep on enjoying yourself. Have a good time, have a good rest tonight, and then ready for tomorrow morning.